We're holding on page 148 in Brachos, the top of the page, middle of Os Kuf Vav. Page 148 in Brachos. Yeah. So still talking about the dinim of Brachos. So one thing that comes up a lot in the Perek when it comes to brachas on food is the order of brachas, which when you have different foods in front of you, which one do you make a bracha on and be motzi the other ones? In particular, then the Gemara talks about the Shiva Saminim, that the Gemara explains that the Shiva Saminim go in order when the pasuk has Eretz Chito, Sa'od of Geffen, and so forth. So it means that would be the order in which you'd say brachas on it. So the Gemara tells Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Rav Hamnuna have a yasvi b'sudasa. Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna one time were sitting at a suda. I see the kamayo tamri v'rimoni. They brought in front of them dates, and they brought in front of them dates and pomegranates. Now Tosfos points out that if they were actually part of the meal, if they were meant to accompany the bread, there wouldn't be any question of saying the bracha on them anyway, because they'd be you'd pater them with the bread. But here, where they were being brought outside of the meal or as a dessert or whatever, further on the Gemara has a whole discussion about the dinim of foods that are or aren't part of the meal, which we've learned in the past in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We've touched on a number of such dinim. So now the question becomes which one to say the bracha on. Shokor Rav Hamnuna Baruch HaTamri Bereisha, so Rav Hamnuna first took some of the dates and made a bracha on them. Amalei Rav Chista. So Rav Chista asked him, don't you agree with what Rav Yosef or some say Rav Yitzchak had said, which was earlier in the Gemara? Kol amukdim apasik zakodim lebracha. The earlier something is in this pasuk, the greater precedence it has as far as the bracha. So now, pomegranates are listed fifth in the pasuk. Eretz chito sa'od of a geffen or sein of a rimon, and dates are listed seventh. Eretz zeis shemen or dvash, where dvash we know means date honey. So shouldn't the pomegranates be the one to get the bracha? Amalei, so Rav Hamnuna answers him, zeh sheni la'oretz v'zeh chamishi la'oretz. The difference is you also have to consider the fact that pasuk repeats the word eretz chito sa'od and so forth, and then eretz zeis shemen or dvash. So by saying the word Eretz a second time, the Pasuk is kind of resetting it. It means, in other words, that it makes the two that are listed after that are more important than the ones that are listed later on after the first Eretz. Now, Tosfos does explain that you still have, the fact is that you have the ones that are after the first Eretz and then the ones that are after the second. All it is, in other words, we stick those in between or after the respective ones that are after the first Eretz. Meaning, in other words, therefore, the order of precedence of brachas would be first wheat, then olives, then barley, then dates, and then the rest of the ones that are after the first Eretz, Geffen or Se'en of Rima. And so that would be the order. So therefore, it comes out that dates come before pomegranates. Omalei, so Rav Chista was very impressed by that. He answers, Man Yohivla Nagri de Parzala, Halavai, somebody could give us iron feet, Vinishma Inach, and we would serve you. Now, Vinishma Inach, you would think is Meloshin Shama to hear, but Rashi explained that it means, in Aramaic, the word Shama or Shamo, however you pronounce it, means a shamish, means somebody who serves another person. So he's saying, Halavai, I had feet of iron to be able to follow you all over the place and serve you, like the way a Talmud serves his Rebbe, and in that way, I'd be able to hear such good explanations from you. So what was so impressive about it? Habboina points out that the fact is you have to wonder why Bechlal does the pasuk repeat the word Eretz again. The pasuk does Eretz Chito Sora, etc. The Geffen Osein of Rimin Zeis Shemen Odvash. Why put it in the second Eretz at all? And if we didn't have the second Eretz, we wouldn't even necessarily know that the Pasuk is telling us a precedence of the order of brachas. Because after all, look, the Pasuk has to put them in some order. So who says necessarily that the Pasuk is telling us an order in which to make the brachas? Now that it puts in the second Eretz, and Rav Hamnuna is telling us, that clues you in that the Pasuk is giving you an actual order, and that the Eretz breaks things up and makes that the ones after it are more important than ones that are listed later after the first one. Then Rav Chista was very impressed by that, because now we understand a diuk in the pasuk that before we had no way of understanding. Why Dafka, he mentions iron feet. Ben Yehoyada says a couple of points on it. One of them is that iron is like a tool that you would use to break the klippos. So therefore, he's saying, if only I had the ability to break klippos like that, that prevent us from being able to understand Torah fully and be able to follow you and always have you be able to explain. He explains also in those psukim over there, right after the Shivas Aminim, it mentions that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hashav Aneha Barzel. It's a land whose stones are iron. So that's another association with iron. Peshet Agadta says an interesting point on it. He says the fact is Rav Chista was a greater Talmid Chacham than Rav Hamnuna. That is why he's mentioned first in the story over here. So therefore, he's saying like this: the problem is when we're in a place like here where everybody knows me and they know you, they know I'm greater than you. If I try to serve you, people are going to tell me, "What are you doing? You're the greater Talmid Chacham." So I wish I had iron feet that I could follow you to go to someplace else where nobody knows us, and then I could actually serve you the way a Talmud serves his Rebbe, and nobody would be preventing us because nobody would know that I'm in fact the greater Talmid Chacham. What?
After the first Eretz.
So what we're saying is you have the first one that's after the first Eretz, then you have the first one that's after the second Eretz. This is how Tosfos explains it, and this is how it's brought Lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch. So you have the first one after the first Eretz, which is wheat, then the first one after the second Eretz, which is olives, then the second one after the first Eretz, which is barley, then the second one after the second Eretz, which is dates, and then the other three, Gefen or Te'en or Verim, and that's the order. Yeah. Okay, further on, the Gemara talks about the dinim about, now what happens, so you finished eating, are you allowed to continue eating, or would you have to bench first? What is considered that you've ended your meal? So the Gemara discusses a whole bunch of different opinions on the subject, and then the Gemara ends up saying this piece over here. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav, Sholosh Tkifas Hein. There are three things where you have to do one thing right after another. Take if l'smicha shchita, right after you do smicha on an animal for a korban, you have to shecht it. Take if l'geula tefila, right after you say gal yisrael, you have to daven shmona esrei, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, the ins and outs of that. And take if l'metzilas yadayim bracha, and as soon as you've washed your hands for mayim achronim, then you need to bench. So in other words, that would be, if you've stopped eating, if you've stopped eating, that doesn't necessarily make a hesach hadas from eating. You can continue eating without having to bench and make a new before bracha. But once you washed mayim achronim, then already it's considered that you've broken off your meal. And now, if you change your mind, you would in fact have to bench and then make a new bracha rishona. Tosfos actually mentions that it would be not only that, but also if you say let's bench, if you say havlon benivrich or rabbosam mevel invention, that would also count as that kind of hefsek of the meal. Anyway, the point is that the Gemara is saying that that's what it means. But up until then, even though you've done other things that are usually done at the end of the meal, that's not necessarily considered a hefsek.
So you have to bench.
So then you would have to. Then you would have to
make a new bracha.
Then you'd have to bench and make a new bracha, right?
Yes, you have to bench.
So I think first you'd
have to make a new bracha before bench.
If I remember correctly, yes. If I remember correctly, that would be the halacha. Yeah, you would actually have to. You'd have to bench and then make a new. Yeah. There is, by the way, there's a maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe that for right after he was released on Yud Beis Tammuz that says that these three things, these three takeifs, represent the three kavim in avoida. Smicha and shchita represent avoida, of course, the avoida of korbanos. Geula and tefila is the avoid is so that's what does he say that so that represents the. So what does he say? One of them, well, tefillah we have, avoida and tefillah are the same thing. You have Torah, avoida, and gemilas chasadim. So he says that, take of the geula tefillah, I think he says, represents gemilas chasadim. No, I think he says, nitzolos yudayim and bracha represents gemilas chasadim, because gemilas chasadim more generally means practical mitzvahs. And then take of the geula tefillah, he says, is associated with the kav of Torah, because we know when you learn Torah, then it's as if you're bringing the Eibishter out of Golos, Malani, Kilup, Da'ani. So therefore, we actually have all three kavim of avoda represented over here. The Rabbeinu Nissim Goin, printed on the side of the Gemara, by the way, brings from Yerushalmi that we actually have psukim that express all three of these things. You have a pasuk where we see that taketh the smicha shchita, and we have psukim for each of the other ones as well. As far as geula and tefila, we had earlier in the Masechta that we say Hashem tzuri v'goyali at the end of Kapitel Yud Tes, and right after that, l'mnatzeach mizmor over yancha Hashem b'yem tzara. So that creates the association between geula and tefila, and then for each of the other ones, there's also a pasuk. Amar Abaye, afanan nami ternenos. Abaye says, we've also learned or different girsa, onu noima, we, the Amiroyim, can say there's a fourth takeif. Takeif for Tamid Chacham in Bracha, Ma'as Yedeb, as soon as you have a Tamid Chacham in your household, right away Bracha comes into what you're trying to accomplish. Shenema vayivarachayni Hashem b'golacha. We find that Lavan says to Yaakov, once you came, then Hashem has blessed me on your behalf. Which, in other words, Marsha says that that's what it means. Yaakov himself points out to Lavan in the following psukim that when I came, you had very few sheep. Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there, you didn't have sons yet. That's why you had to send your daughter out as a shepherd. So now, all of a sudden, he's everything, his sheep and his family has all of a sudden increased tremendously as soon as Yaakov showed up. The boy same mehocha, or you can instead learn it from a different pasuk. Next week's parasha, by Vorach Hashem, it's based on Mitzvah, Biglal Yosef. As soon as Yosef came to Potiphar's house, then Hashem benched his household. Why do we need two psukim? One point is, I think Ben Yehoyada says, that if you just had the first one, you could say, you know what, okay, because Yaakov is Lavan's son-in-law. So a son-in-law is like a son, so maybe you could say he's a member of the family, but Yosef is not a member of Potiphar's family at all, and yet we see that a bracha came as soon as he came. So we see that takeif for Tamid HaChacham in bracha. Okay. Further on, the Gemara gets into the question. The Mishnah talks about that. Now, like, this, what are the rules as far as mizuman, or as far as saying, or particularly, we've said before, when you make a mizuman in the times of the Gemara, the way they did it was that one person would say the mizaman would say the entire benching, and everybody would just listen and answer amen, because they didn't have written or printed sidurim to do for them. So not everybody was familiar with the nusach. So the Gemara discusses, based on the Mishnah and based on a Braisa, do you do that only if they decided that we're going to sit together and eat, or is it even just if they happen to be sitting together? So the Gemara tells the story. Ki noch nafshe de Rav, when Rav passed away, ozlo talmidei basri. So his talmidim were following; they were carrying the oren to be buried in a different city. So they walked along there as part of the Leviathan. Ki Hadri, when they're on their way back, Amri, they said, they decided, Nezel v'necho lachma anahau dank. Let's go and eat bread. Let's go and have our meal by the banks of the river Dank. That was the name of a river nearby. So they're going to sit over there and they're going to have a picnic. Bosu de krichu, krichu literally means wrapped, because in those times, the usual way of eating was you would wrap your bread around the food, like a pita or a lafa or something. So after they had eaten, Yasvi becoming Boyaluhu, they were sitting and wondering about the question, hey, Sebu Davkatnan, when the Mishnah says, or the Braisa says, that if they recline together to eat, does that mean Davka if they recline, but not in this case, where they were reclining, they were just sitting over there, Abu Yoshvuloi, but not if they're just sitting together, sitting is not considered a kvius. Or maybe once they made up that we're going to go and eat bread in such and such a place, that would be the equivalent of doing haseba. Remember, we think of haseba as only on Pesach, but they used to do haseba usually all year round, but only if they were not like this necessarily, where they're just deciding we're going to eat in a certain place. They didn't bring along couches or anything to recline on. They were just sitting on the grass. So that's the question, is that considered enough of a kvius that one of us should make a bracha and be motzi the rest of us? Why didn't they wonder that when it came to the bracha rishon? Now, Tosfos mentions that maybe when it came, when they were sitting down, different people sat down at different times and started eating, so the question didn't come up then. But now that they're all done and they're going to bench and leave, then the question is, should one person bench for all of them, or should one person be motzi all? Or should one person bench for all of them and be motzi them, or does everybody bench individually? So the Gemara says, what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because maybe you should be making a mezuman, and you should have that one person should be motzi everybody. So loy have will be a bayu. So they didn't know the answer, because you have, the Gemara points out before, you have an apparent contradiction in this between a Mishnah and a Braisa, or even you have in the Mishnah itself, there seems to be Eitz Yosef brings over here that they're based on a different girsa, which Rashi seems to have had, that within the Mishnah itself it's not so clear. So they didn't know the answer. Come Rav Adarba Abba, so Rav Adarba Abba, who was one of the Talmidim, got up, Ahadar Kare Lachore, he took his clothing and turned the ripped side toward the back. So of course they all had, their clothes were ripped, because they were going to Rav passed away and they were still wearing the ripped clothes at the Levaya. So now he turned that to the back of his body, V'kora Kriya Achrina, and now he tore a new Kriya right there. So therefore he had to turn the garment around, so he has an untorn area to be able to tear. Omar, and he's saying the reason I'm doing that, well, this is like a new avails. Noch nafshid the Rav. Look what happened over here. Rav has passed away. Or birkas mezona lo gamrinin. We haven't even learned the halachas birkas hamazon. So now we realize it's not just that we lost our Rebbe Rav. We also should realize how much we lost that we don't even know basic halachas like this. So that warrants a new kriya. Until a certain old person came along, and as we've talked about before, the Tosfos mentions in one place that might be Eliyahu. He pointed out what the Gemara says in the Sugya earlier about the seeming contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, the Shani Lahu, and then answers that the answer to the contradiction is, once they make up that we're going to go eat in such and such a place, that is the equivalent of them reclining. So even though it's not a full kliyos, it's considered enough of a kliyos that yes, one person can make the mezuman and bench and be motzi everybody else. So now they have their answer. Okay, further on, the Gemara. So Haseba does mean laying down. It means like what we do on Pesach night. In those times, they did that generally all year round. But over here, we're saying in this particular case,
if you sit without laying, you don't have to do mezuzah.
No, not that you don't have to. Well, that's what we're saying. They made up that they're going to eat together. So that's considered. So then Echad Mevorech Lekulon. Otherwise, you can still make a mezuzah, but you don't have to. You can, otherwise, yeah. But once when they agree that they're going to eat together, then you do it that way. Further on, the Gemara talks about the Mishnah seems to imply that whoever it was that not necessarily do you always give the greatest person over there the honor to bench. Sometimes you give it to somebody else. The Mishnah implies. So the Gemara says that's what it means. Whichever person is the last one is the first one to wash my machronim at the end of the meal, who mezuman the bracha, he is also the one who is being designated by that. That he should be the one to bench to make the mezuman and then be motzi everybody, which the Gemara goes into details about that. It really depends how many people there are there, but anyway, that's the basic idea. So the Gemara tells Rav and Rav Chiya Habu Yasvi Hamed Rebbe Besudasa. Rav and Rav Chiya one time was sitting in front of Rebbe at a meal. Omale Rebbe the Rav Kum Moshi Yodich. All of a sudden, Rebbe says to Rav, "Get up and wash your hands." Chazia to have a mirtas. So Rav Chiya, who was Rav's uncle, in fact, he saw that Rav was trembling. Why? Because he thought that why is Rebbe telling me to wash my hands? Is he seeing my hands are dirty and he's telling me off for it? Or maybe he's telling me stop eating already. You've been eating for too long. Wash your hands and finish eating. So he's nervous. Amalei Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya tells him, don't worry, Bar Pachsi, he says, son of great people, a Pachas in the later books of Tanakh, like you have in Megillas Esther, for example, V'hachashdapenim V'hapachos means nobleman. So Bar Pachsi means son of nobleman. Rav and Rav Chiya were both descended from the family of David HaMelech. Pachas Yehuda, yeah, you have all over the place in the later books of Tanakh. You have Zerubbabel, it's called Pachas Yehuda. Yeah, you have a number of places in the later books of Tanakh, yeah. So in English you have the word pasha, like you have, for example, in Turkey back in the day, you had rulers who were called pashas. That's actually the same word. That's actually a different cognate form of the same word. Anyway, so Bar Pachsi means son of noblemen, because Rav and Rav Chiya were both descended from David HaMelech and from other great Chachamim and Tzaddikim. So I in Bebirkas Mezona Ka'amalach, Rebbe is not telling you that your hands are dirty and it's not appropriate or that you've been eating too long. He's telling you, get ready to bench. Start thinking over the words of benching so you'll be able to bench and be motzi the rest of us. And therefore he's telling you to wash my machronim first, like we just said. Eitz Yosef brings another explanation about it, that We said before that there's not supposed to be a hefsek between my machronim and benching. We said take of the natilas yadayim bracha, which by the way the poskim do bring also in that connection. It also means that the bracha amotzi should be as soon as possible after natilas yadayim, which is why we try not to interrupt between them. But anyway, primarily the Gemara is talking about my machronim. So what happens then if a person is but you also need time for the person to think over Birkas Hamazon so he knows what he's saying. So now Eitz Yosef explains, when Rebbe is telling Rav to go wash his hands, Rav thought, uh-oh, that means I'm going to have to hurry up and bench. That means I'm not going to have time to think it over. I'm going to end up mixing up the words or something. So Rav Chiya tells him, relax. I am the Birkas Mazon HaKamalach. Rebbe is not telling you that as soon as you finish washing my machronim, we have to bench. You can take your time, think over Birkas HaMazon. That's not considered a hefsek. Okay. So the Gemara brings in this connection of a din that that Rav Chisto or Rav Zutra Bar Tovia said in the name of Rav in connection with the halachas of brachas. So as the Gemara often does, it digresses to talk to bring a couple of other statements from the same Amora. But Amar Rav Chisto or Rav Zutra Bar Tovia Amar Rav Asidin Kol Bachuri Yisrael Shle Tamu Tamchet. In the future, all the young Jewish men who have not tasted the taste of sin. They're still faithful. They haven't been mezana. Sheyitnu reyach kalavonin. In the future, they will give off a fragrance like the fragrance of the lavonin, which Rashi says the leaves and the flowers of it are very fragrant. Shenema, as the pasuk says, yelchu yon koisav. Hashem says about the Jewish people, his young branches will go, meaning they'll extend outward. Vihi chazayis hoidoi, his beauty will be like the beauty of an olive tree. Vireyach loy kalavonin, and he'll have an aroma like the aroma of lavon. So Marsha explains, how do we see that this refers to the bacharim, to the young men? Because the word yon koisav, which means the branches, is also related to the word yanik, which means a young person. So we're talking about these young men. They have a strong yetzahara as young men at that due age, but they control it. And therefore they have the fragrance he brings from Targum Yonason, that their fragrance will be like the fragrance of the Keturis. So Levonin, besides Levonin, means the forest in Lebanon, like Rashi is saying, they have very, very aromatic they have very aromatic leaves and flowers. Also, we know in many places in Tanakh, the word Levonin is used as a metaphor for the Bes Mikdash, Shemal ben Avanesei and Shor Yisrael, because it whitens and cleans up the Averis of the Jewish people. So therefore, V'reyach loy kalavonin means that they'll have a fragrance like the fragrance of the Bes Mikdash, where they brought the Keturis. Marsha says also, another meaning of it is also, we know that smell, that a sense of smell represents a very high level of ruchnius. We say about Moshiach, v'harichei v'yiras Hashem, he will have the ability to sniff out who is a Yorei Shemayim and who is not, and to be able to judge based on Murach v'doyin, as the Gemara calls it in Sanhedrin, that he'll be able to sniff people and be able to judge that way. So therefore, we're saying these bacharim, shleitam u'tamchet, are going to have a certain degree of that milah. They'll have those tremendous levels of chachma, similar in a way to what Mashiach has. So the Rif adds another point as well. The pasuk is saying that their beauty is going to be like an olive tree. Now, why dafka an olive tree? So elsewhere, there's a Maimer Chazal that says an olive tree, unlike most other trees, at least the ones that they were familiar with at those times, most trees you can graft a branch of a related species to them, and the graft will take, and you'll have, you know, they talk about, for example, with a Cerulean Mokovim, you have the whole problem with that, and other such things. An olive tree is not like that. There's no other plant that's close enough to it taxonomically that you'd be able to graft a branch onto it and it'll take. Therefore, an olive tree is a symbol of us Jewish people not mixing with people that we're not supposed to, whether it's Goyim, whether it's Arias or whatever. So that's what we mean, that these bacharim, loy tamu tamchet, they remain faithful like the way the olive tree remains true to its species.
Anaf Yosef is saying here a very beautiful thing.
Yeah. Oh, so Anaf Yosef, let's see, says that, so you have the pasuk is starting in plural, Yehu Yon Koisav, his branches, plural, will extend outward, and then Vihi Chazayis Hoi Doi V'Reach Loi Kalabonin, his beauty will be like the beauty of an olive tree, and his fragrance will be like the Lavanin, Loshin Yachid. So he says that like this, you have there may be generations where the Jewish people messed up, but eventually even those generations are going to have their tikkun, whether because their neshamas come back in Gilgulim or because their ancestors, or because their descendants rather, will be good or whatever. So therefore, so now we're saying that even you have, meaning that even if he, the father, the ancestor, was a no good nick, nevertheless, his descendants will be good, and they will be Mila, and they will be Masakin, what their ancestor did. He says, in fact, that's why Rashi specifically mentioned the leaves and the flowers to suggest the idea. Like you may have the tree representing the ancestor was a no good nick, but it produces leaves and flowers, which are good and fragrant. And therefore, and they end up making up for and being Mila and being Mavada, their ancestor. Yeah. Further on this, again, since we brought one thing from Rav Chisda or Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia in the name of Rab, so the Gemara brings another one. Omer Rav Chisda or Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omer Rab, my dichtiv is a kol osa yofa b'itoy. The pasuk says Hashem made everything good in its time. So what does that mean? It means melamed shekol echad ve'echad yipa la'yakadosh baruch hu v'nusi b'fonim. Means that each person Hashem makes his particular type of work that he does, his particular craft or his talent or whatever, is particularly beautiful to him. Meaning Rashi says, even let's say you have a tanner. Anybody else is going to look and say, a tanner, it smells bad. You're working with disgusting things. Why would anybody bother? But nevertheless, you have people who like that, who do that kind of job and like it. So Hashem arranged that in order because, after all, the world needs tanners. So you have the Gemara elsewhere that says, Oyla Misha Munose Bursi. But nevertheless, the Eibishter created, there are people who have a natural affinity for that kind of thing because the world needs tanners. And therefore Hashem makes that there are going to be certain people who enjoy that kind of job. So the Papa says, this is like the expression. So how does Be'ito means in the time? What does that have to do with people's different jobs? So Marsha explains that means from when Hashem decided that what this person is going to do. And we know before a person is born, Hashem decides, Hashem maps out his whole life, except whether he's going to be a tzaddik or a rosha, tzaddik or rosha like Tamar. So therefore, at that time, Hashem mapped out that he's going to have a certain job, and therefore that he's going to have an affinity for it. He says, in fact, that's the pasuk continues. If you look in that pasuk in Kehelas, the rest of the pasuk continues, Gama sa'olam nosan b'libam, Hashem put the world into their heart, which means, in other words, that every person has, they feel like their job is the world to them. And the pasuk continues, Mibli asher lo yimtza adam es ha'maisa, in order that a person doesn't find what the maisa, that means, he says, that you don't want, that you don't have, a person doesn't think to himself, you know what, this job is no good, let me go find something else. No, he keeps his job, and because Hashem gives him a certain affinity and a certain liking for this kind of job. So the whole pasuk then is talking about this idea that Hashem gives every person what they enjoy, and they have that job available. So Amar Papa, Hainu Da Amri Inchi. This is like people say the expression, totally like Kura La Dava Acher. You take a heart of palm, which is clean, and you hang it around the neck of a Dava Acher, of a Chazir, so you'd think it's very clean. It should eat it right away. No, the Iho Didei Ovid, the Dava Acher will do what it does. It'll roll around the heart of palm in the mud first before it eats it, because that's its affinity. It likes things that are dirty and muddy, and therefore it's gonna do that first. Another one, Va'amir of Zutra, Batrovia Amara, Va'amir the Omer of Khan, Babizna Omer of Shimon Chasidah, Va'amir the Omer of Yechen, the Shimon of Shimon Yechoy. It's one of those very popular statements that's attributed to different Amiroyim. Noyach Lola Odom, Shiapel Atzma, the Sech Kivshana Esh, better for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace, Ba'al Yalbin, Pnei Chaber Abadabin, rather than embarrass somebody else publicly, Menolon, Mitomer, and we learn that from the story of Tomer, Shinemahi Mutseis for Gomer, as she was being taken out to be burnt, her Tziyor Vasisarif, so she doesn't outright say, I'm pregnant from Yehuda, she says, I'm pregnant from the man who gave me these things, Chaisomcho, Psilcho, Matcha, and that way, if Yehuda is going to fess up to it, then good, but if not, she's not going to say his name and embarrass him publicly. Mishum means that he didn't hear it directly from him. It means that he heard it from somebody who heard it. No. Mishum, we had a few daf ago, for example, we had something where Rabbi Yochanan, I think it was, said Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. And that for sure, he was. So what it means is he heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who, however many links there were in the chain, that it's clearly attributable to Rabbi Yehuda, or in this case, to Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, right.
If you would be an Amiro, that would be a hundred, a few hundred.
No, it's, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yochanan is one of the early Amiroim, Rabbi Shimon is one of the later Tanoim. It's very possible, really, even that Rabbi Yochanan may have been born before Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai passed away. He may have been a little boy when Rabbi Shimon passed away, but he may have even, it's possible that their lives even overlapped a little bit, but even if not, then it wasn't that far difference between them. With that said, though, there was one of Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbeim was named Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Tzadok. And it's very possible that in some of the places where the Gemara says Reshin Beis Yud, it's really supposed to stand for Rav Shimon ben Yochai Tzadok, and just they didn't know, people aren't as familiar with that name, so they expanded it to Rav Shimon ben Yochai. It could be. Right. But in general, when the Gemara brings something like this, Omer, what Omer Reb, whatever, it's usually an Amora. Okay. But yeah, Mishum means that it wasn't a direct quotation. Yeah. Tosfos actually mentions in one place that this Gemara is also in Sota. Tosfos asks, you know, we have the big three, Abba Dezora, Gilar, Ais, and Shvichas Domim, that a person has to be Moise Nefesh to not be over. According to what we're saying over here, why don't we list a fourth thing, to not be Malvin Pnei Chaver Barab? So Tosfos says, because that when we list those three, we're only listing ones that it says clearly in the Pasuk. This concept of not being Malvin Pnei Chaver Barab, we learn it from the story of Toma, but it doesn't actually say in so many words, don't be Malvin Pnei Chaver Barab. There are other answers as well. Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's actually part of Shvichos Damim. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that when you embarrass a person, his face turns red and then his face turns white. So the blood is collecting in his face and then draining. So it's like draining his blood out of him. It's a form of Shvichos Damim. So therefore it is included in one of the three. The Gemara goes on to talk about, they used to have the minhag in those days after you finished the meal. Now, keep in mind they were eating with their hands in those days. They didn't necessarily have eating utensils like we do. What? They didn't have what?
Sushi.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. They didn't have chopsticks? Yeah, no, they didn't have chopsticks, but sometimes they used forks, but for Derech Klal, people ate with their hands. That's really the whole idea, they had, for example, they have ladles, let's say, to ladle out soup into a bowl. But you're eating soup, let's say, yeah, you'd have a spoon for it, but they didn't necessarily have when you're eating solid food, the derech klal, you just pick it up with your hands and eat it. That's really the idea behind my machronim is that you have your hands are greasy, they may have melach sdomis on them, and therefore you have to wash them before you're gonna bench. So that's what we said before, when Rav was eating together with Rav Chiya and Rebbe, and Rebbe tells him, wash your hands, and Rav got nervous for one thing, because he thought his hands were dirty. Nowadays, you wouldn't think it's an issue. What do you mean my hands are dirty? I've been eating with a knife and fork the whole time. But back then, when they ate with their hands, then yes. It's going to come up, by the way, actually, anybody who's interested, we have a shiur in Daf HaYomi here in the morning before Shacharis, and actually in a few days, Best Hashem, we're going to get to an interesting piece of Agadah over there that mentions this concept of where it talks about people eating with their hands and the problem of is the bowl that you are sharing with the other person, is it going to remain clean after you put your dirty fingers into it? So there's an interesting Gemara over there about that. But anyway, so the Gemara talks about that in those times, what they used to do is after the meal, then they'd wash their hands for Mayim Achronim, they would also smear fragrant oil on their hands to keep to this. This way, also, you know, it helps take away the rest of the grease, it helps give their hands a nice fragrance. Now, afterwards, they'd say a bracha on the oil, because after all, it's got a fragrance. And we learned yesterday, you make a bracha on fragrances. So then afterwards, what do you do with the rest of it? So the Gemara says that if you have a waiter over there by your meal, so you take the rest of it and you wipe off your hands of the extra oil, you wipe it off on his head. However, then it says, if this waiter is a Talmid Chacham, then you don't do that, because as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, a Talmid Chacham shouldn't be going out wearing perfume. So then instead, you wipe it on the wall. So now that brings the Gemara into the following piece. Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Gnailo the Talmud Chacham. There are six kinds of behaviors that are a shameful thing for a Talmud Chacham. Number one, Al Yetzi Krumavusam Lashuk. A Talmud Chacham shouldn't be going out into the street wearing perfume, as the Gemara is going to explain soon why that is. Al Yetzi Bimin Olim Hamatuloyim. He also shouldn't go out wearing shoes with patches on them. He shouldn't go out alone at night. That one actually connects with this week's parasha. The Gemara mentions in Chulin, and discusses the whole story of Yaakov fighting with the Malach and the Gidanoshe, because that's one of the subjects discussed over there. So in connection with the din of Gidanoshe, so the Gemara goes through the whole story and darshens it, and it mentions that Yaakov stayed by himself over there because of the Pachim Tanim, but he was alone at night, and therefore he was exposed to danger from the Malach. Also, a Talmud Chacham should not talk with a woman in the street. The Gemara is going to go on and explain each of these details. He shouldn't be one of the last ones to come into the Beis Medrash. He shouldn't recline and eat together and then prepare to have a meal together with a group of Amei Aretz. That also he shouldn't take large steps, and he shouldn't walk completely upright. The Rambam explains in Hilchos Deis that a Talmid Chacham ought to be walking with his head down a little bit, like the kind of way you see a person walking that Rambam described, when you see a person is preoccupied with his business affairs or whatever it is. He doesn't walk with his nose up in the air. He walks with his head a little bit down, concentrating. So that's the kind of posture that a Talmid Chacham should be walking in, we're saying. So let's go through them one by one. Al Yetzik Shum Avusim Lashuk, we're saying you shouldn't go out into the street wearing perfume. Amr of Abba, Breder, Chiba Abba, Amr of Yechanan, B'makam Shechashudin Al Mishkav Zohar. We're talking specifically in an area where there's a suspicion of Mishkav Zohar. So people would wear perfume then in order to attract people. So now with Talmid Chacham, if he's wearing perfume out in the street, then people are going to jump to conclusions about him. Amr of Sheshes, Lo Yamorin El Bevigdon. Now, though, Rav Shesha says that concept that a Talmid Chacham shouldn't be wearing perfume would only apply to perfume that's applied to his clothes. Alva b'gufay, but if he puts perfume on his body, that's not a big deal. Zeya ma'abrele, the sweat. He says he sweats. Then that'll soon, the perfume will soon dissipate. So it's not going to be noticeable anyway. Mefoshim say that would be specifically, we'd be talking about in the areas of the body that sweat a lot, his armpits and other such areas. Lav Dafka, for example, on parts that don't sweat very much there, you'd still have the same problem. Omer Papa was already namik bigger dummy. The Papa says a person's hair for that purpose is considered like his clothing, because your hair, you don't sweat very much on your scalp. So therefore you'd have the same problem that the perfume is going to stay there for a while and people are going to be choshed. But Amulak Gufay dummy, others say that no, his hair is considered like his body for that purpose, because after all, sometimes you do have some sweat on your scalp, and therefore that'll remove the fragrance of the perfume. Next, we said Val Yetzim in Olam Mutuloyim. We said the Braisa says that you shouldn't go out, that a Talmid Chacham should not be going out in the street wearing patched shoes. So the Gemara says, Mesaila le Rabchi Ba'aba. This supports what Rabchi Ba'aba says. Da'amr Rabchi Ba'aba, Gnaihu Talmid Chacham, Shiyetzim in Olam Mutuloyim. Rabchi Ba'aba says exactly that, same as the Braisa. So the question is, Aini, is that so? Vahod Rabchi Ba'aba, nothing. Rabchi Ba'aba himself went out with patched shoes. So there must be nothing wrong with it. The answer is Omer Mazutra Beder of Nachman Betlai Agabetlai. You're talking about over here with a problem that the Braisa is saying, that Rabbi Ba'aba is saying, is when you have one patch on top of another. So you patch the shoes, and even after a while, the patch has worn through, and you put another patch on top of it. That is a gnai for a Talmid Chacham. But the Gemara says, V'loy Amarin Ela B'Panta. Now that only applies if the patch is on the upper of the shoe. But if it's on the sole of the shoe, so nobody's going to see it anyway, less than but, then there's no problem. You can even have patches on top of patches. And even we're talking about the upper of the shoe, we're only talking about Ela Ba'urcha, only when he's on the road. But if he wears those kinds of shoes around the house, then it's not a problem. And we're also only talking about during the summertime, but during the wintertime, it's not a problem, because it actually says your shoes are anyway going to be covered with mud, so nobody's going to see the patches. We said Baal Yetzi Yechidi Balayla, we said a Talmid Chacham shouldn't go out at night alone, Mishum Chashta, and the reason is because of Chashad, people are going to suspect that he's going out for purposes of Znus. Marsha points out that actually the Gemara elsewhere says that there's also the problem of Mazikin, which again was the problem of Yaakov, that he was confronted by a Malach. However, Marsha says that what we can be talking about over here is if it's in a city, Yaakov Avinu, or the other cases where we're talking about where there's a problem of Mazikin, would be out in the middle of nowhere, because Mazikin tend to hang out in such areas. But in the city, you don't have a problem of Mazikin, but you still have the problem of Chashad, that people are going to suspect that he's going out for illicit purposes. However, that applies only if he doesn't have a fixed time, a scheduled time to learn. But if this Talmid Chacham has a scheduled time to learn with somebody, some people will say, maybe a deal, the Idna causal. Everybody knows he's going to a scheduled learning, and nobody's going to be choshish that he's going out for some other improper purpose. We said, Val Yisapa in Isha Bashuk, you shouldn't be talking with a woman in the street. Amar Rav Chista, filu hi ishtoi, and Rav Chista says that means even if it's only his, even if it's his own wife, because not everybody knows who his wife is, so people are going to see him talking with a woman, and again they're going to jump to conclusions and be choshen. The Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi. We learn similarly in Braisa. Al Yisaper Odomim Isha Bashuk. A man shouldn't talk with a woman in the street. Vafilu hi ishto, even if she's his wife. Vafilu hi bito, vafilu hi achoise, even if it's his daughter, even if it's a sister. Ben Yehoyada points out your daughter or your sister resemble you a lot more. So you think people are going to notice the resemblance and they're not going to jump to conclusions. Nevertheless, Lafisha Enakol Bekin Bekrovosev. The fact is not everybody is familiar with the person's relatives, and they may not realize. Interesting that a number of these dinim are brought in the Rambam. The Rambam brings all of them in Hilchos Deis. Many of them are not brought in Shulchan Aruch, implying, I guess, that at least some of the later poskim held that they're not necessarily applicable in later times. For one thing, in the times of the Gemara, women generally stayed at home. It was very rare for women to go out in the street. The Rambam even phrases it. He says that it would be normal for a woman to only go out of her house once or twice a month. So you see him talking with a woman in the street, then people are going to jump to conclusions what kind of woman it is. Nowadays, when you have women all over the place anyway, and everybody knows he has relatives, so therefore it may be less of an issue. We said he shouldn't be the last one to go into the Beis Medrash, mishum tekorele pesheya, because people are going to call him a pesheya, somebody who actually explains, misatzel, somebody who's lazy. Why is he coming late? Because he's lazy. In fact, the Maharshal has the gears over here, not Peshea, but also that he's a Peshea. People are going to say he's lazy. The Rambam, Maharshal has a different explanation. The word is not Peshea, but Pesea, which means stepping over. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the idea that it's not right when you have people sitting in the Beis Medrash, and in the old days in particular, they generally sat on the floor, and you're coming in late and stepping over their heads, like you think of the way it would be in the old days when you're coming into 770 and stepping over. So it's not, right, stepping over the benches or whatever. So it's not a nice thing to do. It shows a lack of cupboard for the Chacham. So you shouldn't do that. And Val Yosef Mesiba Shal Ami Oretz, and he shouldn't sit in a party of Ami Oretz to Osir, my time, Duma Osir, Lam Shuchi Basrayu, he may end up following in their ways. They're talking to Vodim Batalim, they're whatever, and he may end up following in their ways of thinking and doing. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Besser, or next week. Meanwhile, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Yudalad Kislev. So it's the wedding anniversary of the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin. So therefore, the piece over here is about the chuppah. So people say, fine, granted, Chassidus is a good thing. I mean, no, Chassidus is compared to a pearl, but so what? Who needs pearls? I have my levushim are good, my machshava dibra ma'isa is complete. I have jewelry. Who needs pearls? So we tell him, first of all, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that you have to learn Pnimius HaTorah, just like you have to learn every other part of Torah. Besides that, the darkness of Ikvus HaMashiach makes it required to learn Chassidus in order for your levushim to be complete. So fine, in the earlier generations, you could say, I don't need pearls, they're only a luxury. But now, when Hine is in Ominach HaKaslenu, we have to be ready to go to the chuppah with Melech, Malchei HaMlochem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you mean you don't need pearls? You need every kind of jewelry, every kind of ornament that you're going to have for the chuppah. Halacha. If a person puts food into his mouth without a bracha, so it can be the kind of food where if you spit it out, it won't be disgusting. Say, for example, you're eating peanuts. Let's say you can easily take it out of your mouth and it'll still be edible after that. So then you do that. You take it out of your mouth, say the bracha, not while it's in your mouth, because the pasuk says, "Yimoli piti losecha." My mouth should be full of your praise. If it's something that if you spit it out, it's going to be disgusting, well, then you have the problem of baltashlis. Then you just move it to one side of your mouth, move it into one cheek or something, and then make the bracha. If that happens with a drink, now a drink, you can't really do that. You can't really move it to the side of your mouth and be able to say a bracha. So if you have more of the same drink, then just spit it out and let it go to waste. If you have more and you really need that little bit that's in your mouth, then you swallow it and then you say the bracha rishon. Usually you're supposed to make the bracha before you eat, but here at least you remembered while it was in your mouth, so it's considered like beforehand. In that case, though, you wouldn't make a bracha achrona unless it was wine and you drank a revius of it.